fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, here again today with my good friend Chuck Greenwood. And we've been talking all week about essentially the spiritual battle, our battle against sin, and this year of mercy that we're in. And just wanting to, through the programs this week, as we come toward the end of the year of mercy, I mean, God's mercy never ends, but there is really a special grace, I think, for us to be able to acknowledge our sin, to be able to have hope in the mercy of God and really turn to Him and take advantage of the graces that are here in this year. So welcome back, Chuck.
Thank you.
You know, you touched on some really good stuff yesterday, talking about, okay, how do we, if we're trapped in these habit patterns of sin, even if we repeated them, came out of them for a while and fell back in again, is there mercy for us? Is there grace for us? And you've been telling us in such an inspiring way about that. But then what are the practical steps we can take to get out of the traps that we find ourselves in?
Yeah, as I mentioned yesterday, the first one was just be not afraid. That's a key point, because you can't have fear. You can't make the journey if you're afraid, especially fear God in not a healthy way.
Yeah.
So you have to be not afraid. The second one was hug the cactus. And again, that's a perfect picture, because it's a very uncomfortable process. But that's dealing with what the reality of your life is.
Yeah. Just tell the truth, like being able to, no denials, no fudging, no escaping the truth. Look honestly at who you are. I remember Danny Abramowitz said at one point, and he's, I've heard him say this many times, his own testimony. And he was the New Orleans Saints wide receiver and very popular and handsome guy, married, had kids. But he was drinking. He was partying.
Right.
He was chasing skirts. He was doing all kinds of stuff. And he thought he had it all under control. He thought he had the best life. He was making money. And then one day, he'd been living a lie. He hurt his wife in the process and others. And he said one day he was shaving in the morning. He looked in the mirror and he goes, I looked at the guy in the mirror. And I thought, I hate what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living a lie.
Yeah.
I am a liar. And that was when the light began to go on. He began to hug the cactus,
right,
standing in front of the mirror that morning in his house.
Yeah. You own up to the truth of what your life is.
Right.
And if you don't own up to the truth of it with yourself, you're sure not going to own up to it with anybody else, including the Lord. And so that's why you need. But again, hugging a cactus is not a very comfortable process. You know that this is going to be a difficult and painful process, and it is. But obviously, it's necessary and worthwhile. The third thing I said, it was you need to become a paralytic. And I was talking about a paralytic in terms of the story in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And there's the story of the paralytic. And here's a guy who wants to get in front of the Lord. Jesus is coming to town. He's dining at someone's house. There's people you can imagine, you know, places packed and standing room only, and the door, you can't get through there. And here's this guy on a mat. And so he enlists four brothers. He says, look, I got to get in there. I want to get in front of him. You got to help me. And he probably had to explain why he needed some help to them too. And so what they did is, you know, they raise him up. They go up on the roof. They start pulling tiles off. You know, they must have gotten some ropes and cords. And they lowered him down. And so they set him in front of the Lord. And, I mean, I just love this story. Here this guy is doing anything and everything. He's not going to let Jesus leave, go to the next town, he may never see him again. Because obviously he was more than paralyzed. He had sin on his heart. And we saw that because when Jesus first said to him, he was admired his faith and his ingenuity. And he said, your sins are forgiven you. He didn't say rise up right off the bat and take your mat and walk. First thing he said, he saw the man's heart. He knew that's why he was there.
And what's interesting, Chuck, is his paralysis was so visible to everybody. And the manifestation that this is the thing this guy's battling in life,
right,
this terrible crippled state he's in, and Jesus dials right into his heart and said the real sickness is inside.
It's inside.
Every human heart
needs
that forgiveness and grace, and that's why Jesus came.
And that's why he knew he had to get in front of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because, you notice, he didn't argue with him and say, well, that's great about my sins, but hey, I'd like to walk too. You know, he didn't say that. I mean, it was just, he saw his heart and it was transparent. But what he had to do to get there, that's the kind of attitude that it's going to take to break out of a pattern of sin. is I got to get to confession. I have to get to this. That's the beginning of light. I've got to, and like I say, if I have to go to church and have four brothers lower me into the confessional, I have got to get in front of Jesus in the form of the priest and confess my sins and begin the journey. But it has to come in that light. It has to come with that grace, because that's where you're going to receive the grace that's necessary to continue with that journey.
Yeah.
But you have to have that abandonment. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Right.
I don't care.
That's when clarity of mind starts to set in. That's where the grace of a renewed mind, Paul says. We need the transformation of our mind, a fresh new spiritual way of thinking. God's grace is coming, and you're starting to see what's really at stake. And the reality is, I cannot manage this anymore. This is actually killing me, and it's killing me spiritually. And I'm also damaging the people in my life that I love, despite the fact that I'm lying to myself and trying to rationalize it all and justify it all and pretend like it's not really producing those effects, because it is. It's really happening. And absolutely. So there's that whole reality. So then being a paralytic, then what?
After, you know, from the paralytic, and like I say, that is the beginning. That's the beginning of opening you up to do the things that are necessary to do. The next thing you need to do is smash your idols. And when your maze, this maze that you kind of wander around, it's full of idols. And these need to be smashed. And that can be people, places, and things. It's patterns. It could be as far as sinfulness, it could be pornography, or it could be computers or television or alcohol or drugs or
money.
Money, yeah. That's one of the greatest idols that we have. Places you sin at, places you go to, people you hang out with, whatever it is, those have to be smashed, because those are what makes up your maze. You smash the idols, the maze comes falling down. It doesn't exist anymore because the idols are smashed. It's held up by them. And again, you know what they are. You know what they are. Once you hug that cactus, you knew exactly what you had to do and which idols you had to smash. But if you don't make that decision, then you will still continue to wander in the maze. The next couple of things are more obvious, but you need to make amends where you can. You need, first of all, you're going to confession regularly. It's not a one-time thing. Okay, I got that. I checked that box off.
Right.
You may need to go weekly. You may need to develop a relationship with a confessor and other people. But you need to make amends. Ask forgiveness when it's possible. Sometimes it is not possible. You need to give back and replace if something has been taken or lost. But it's doing what necessary to undo. To undo the harm that was created by our sin.
Yeah.
Then the next step is taking necessary steps to get where help were needed. Sometimes if you're a person like myself, I needed help beyond that. I needed some professional help. And I was getting some of that at the time in Connecticut, but I needed to reconnect with that and get professional assistance. Also, there's other help you can get. You can get from your church, from men's groups, women's groups within a church, brothers and sisters that you can share your life with, that you trust. But there has to be a way of, again, continuing this process of accountability and light, which you totally separated yourself from in the past. And then the last thing I have, and I'm sure there's other steps that people can do, but making sure you're back at the church, you're receiving the sacraments, and you're praying. Blessed Mother says, pray, pray, pray. St. Faustina says, pray, pray, pray. Pray the rosary. It's the greatest weapon you have against any of these sins is the rosary. The chaplet of divine mercy, thanking God and embracing the mercy on an ongoing basis. It always puts you in touch. It puts you in touch with the reality of your sinful life, even if it's been in the past. It's always in your mind. So those kind of things, you need morning prayer. You have to reprioritize how you deal with prayer, how you deal with your life, and that's the way you do it.
Yeah. You talked about smashing the idols.
Yes.
And idols are those things in our life that we really put before God. What am I really living for? Where does my time, my talent, my energy go? And it can look really dramatic, like the stories you were telling. I've actually become a slave to something, and it's really obvious to see. But guess what? Even in a life that looks well-managed and doesn't look like it's in crisis, if a disciple, someone who's been baptized, if all their time and energy, their money, goes to something else, they don't have time to pray, they get to Mass occasionally, but hey, their life looks great, and they're kind of on top of the world, you're still genuflecting to other idols,
absolutely.
Right? Because you were saying earlier, Jesus says, put it this way, Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God, You're talking about putting first things first. Mm-hmm. Get rid of all those things that you put before the Lord.
Yes.
And either get rid of them because they're bad or put them in right order and don't put them in a place where they become like an idol, something you're living for to make you happy, something you possess, something you wear, the club that you're in, the circle of friends that you have. Whatever it is, if your heart and mind isn't first set on Christ, you're not going to enter into the freedom that he wants you to have.
Yes.
Right? Because we're not, Romans chapter 14, Paul says, Christ came for this reason, that he would be both, he died, that he would be both Lord of the dead and of the living. He's come to be Lord. He's come to reign.
Yes.
And we have to invite him to reign in our hearts. We have to say, Jesus, I'm putting you on the throne of my life. That's it. That's what I want to do now. That's the hunger. That's the desire. And that's the focus we have to have. And if that's where it is, he'll lead us out.
Right.
But as long as we have other idols up there that we put first, we're going to draw what those idols can give us, which is almost nothing other than deeper kind of bondage and enslavement. We need to put the king on the throne who wants to give us the freedom to be able to live a new way of life.
Yeah, as soon as you, if you notice that remember the Israelites, as soon as they, when they began to murmur in the desert, what's the first thing they did? They reconstructed some of their idols. In other words, you want to put those things. Those things will give you comfort. And that, of course, is a lie. And that's why they need to be smashed. And if you don't smash the idols, you'll eventually start clinging to them again. And you'll cling to them in sinful ways. And that's not going to bring you freedom. That's going to take you back. I'm a person, for people sitting out there thinking, I'm in bad straits, I can't break from this sin. I'm a person that after having all the things that happened to me, God was so good to me. And I went back and this. God was so good to me in his mercy again. Amazing the things he did. And that's because I took the keys of my Porsche and I just gave it to the guy. He said, we can't do that. And I said, yeah, I'm doing it. I quit my job. I took any job that he could get. But my point is I was finally to the point where I said, I'm done with this. I cannot live this pattern of life again.
That's pretty radical. It's a great example. I'm glad you shared that because you had moved from Connecticut where you had a big job, but you also were in a place of engaging in the life of the parish and community and getting support.
Absolutely.
And it was helping you. And then you decided to get out of that and you put yourself in danger zone, right? You're out there, Arizona, you're not going to church on a regular basis. That whole network of support is gone.
It's gone.
You
nope.
Start drifting with what you're drifting away from what is there to help you with. But then you got dead serious at a certain point. I mean, you said you took the keys of the Porsche and you just gave them back. What, to the dealer or something? What did you
do? Yeah, went to the dealer.
And you said, I don't want this anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said, we can't do that. And I said, I got to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Do what I wasn't mean about it. I said, you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
I have to do this.
Right. I have to stop pretending. I got to get rid of the idols in my life and the false identities and all the stuff that I was doing. And you were willing to take any job. Just get me out of this one because I'm in a really bad place here. And you ended up taking a job that was many rungs down the ladder.
More rungs than I can count. I mean, it was, and I told, I said to my wife, I said, we're going to go anywhere and this is not going to be good. This is not going to be fun.
Yeah.
I sold my house and ran out of house and ran out of money and everything else, but it didn't matter.
Wow, that's great. Can we take that up a little bit tomorrow? Can you
sure.
be with us one more day?
Yeah,
let's kind of wrap this up tomorrow. But friends, it's been a great week, and I really appreciate the wisdom and the honesty with which Chuck has spoken to us all week. And I ask you to think about a friend who might really be blessed by this. And tune in again tomorrow, friends, because we've got a lot more. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.